Okay, there we go. Sorry about that. It's been a while, so. John chapter 18, verses 28 through 40. And let's pray together before we read God's word. Father God, we are thankful for your grace and your mercies. Not one of us would be here today without your love and without your compassion, without your mercy, without your grace. We thank you for this moment that we can spend in your presence worshiping you and just spending time with you, communing with you, and us, and you with us. We thank you, Lord, for your word, that your word says that as we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And I pray that Holy Spirit may dwell within us. You are our comforter, you are our guide, that promises to lead us into all truth. And Lord, we live in a world that is calling good evil and evil good. We pray that, God, that you would make us wise as serpents and innocent as doves, that we would be able to discern what is true and what we can hold on to, that when the storms of life come, that we would not be shaken. Your word says that if we build our lives on your word, we can endure the storms. But if we build it on sand, we will be destroyed. And so, Father, we pray that you, by your Spirit, would cause us to live by your truth, to dwell in its presence, not to flee from it, not to doubt it, but to stand strong. I pray that you'd accomplish in us what you've desired for us to be here for this moment, in this place. We ask for your anointing, Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning. To avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people, your chief priests, who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews, but now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. What is the truth? What is truth? I want to use this as a jumping point this morning into what we're going to be talking about discerning what is truth. How do we find truth? Pilate asked the question, "What is truth?" Jesus gives us plainly the reason why he came is to share with us the truth of the kingdom, the truth about who he is and who we are and how we can have a relationship with him. A lot of times we ask the question, well, why did Jesus come? to seek and to save that which is lost. But he came to us to share us with us the truth. What is truth? Truth is truth, even if one believes only. Truth is truth, even if no one believes it. A lie is a lie, even if everyone believes it. And I think that's true. I saw that, and I believe that it's true. Truth is truth, even if no one believes it. A lie is a lie, even if everyone believes it. And there's a lot of popularity going on within our country right now, especially, of defining what is truth. What is sacred? What do we hold as sacred? And we're redefining what truth is. It's a very important question that we're facing today. And we need to look into God's Word and find out what the truth is. I had a very interesting discussion with my son this past week. And I didn't tell him I was going to mention that, or ask him for permission. We were talking about how do you discern kind of a lot of things that our society has, and learning what is really behind it. And sharing that truth with others, how can we share that truth with people without preaching at them or telling them they're wrong? Coming alongside them, building relationships with them first before you have the opportunity to share the truth with them. Within our culture, people are saying that truth is relative. What you believe to be true is true for you, and what I believe is true for me, it's okay. Even if we disagree, that's okay. We'll just believe what we believe, and it's all right. Don't preach your ideas at me. Don't tell me your ideas. I have my own beliefs. I believe it's okay to ask questions to pursue the truth. It's all right to ask the questions. Okay, to grapple with that. To look at things that are happening in society and say, okay, what do I believe about that? And look to God's Word to find the answers to those questions. But not approaching it from a doubting perspective, where, you know, you're doubting the truth. That will become a stumbling block rather than something that will give you life. It won't set you free if you're doubting the truth. But if it causes you and compels you to look and seek for the answers in God's Word, that will bring you freedom. When you're thinking about truth, one must understand that where there is truth, there will be lies and there will be counterfeits. You know, when working at Bob Evans, we're instructed how to look for a counterfeit when it comes across. It's not always easy to look for the counterfeits. We have to study the real ones to know what the real characteristics in a dollar bill or $100 bill, that's the ones we're kind of worried about, the 20s, the 50s. And some of you work with finances and in that, and you look at the real thing, and you look for those characteristics. Are those characteristics there? And if they're not, you know it's a counterfeit. They have these little pens that they give you that you can kind of run it on it, and if it changes color, then you know it's a counterfeit. Some counterfeiters kind of get wise to that, so they make it out of real. They change the denominations, change a 5 to a 20. And so they kind of try to get around that, so that if you're not looking for the other characteristics, then you might get fooled. Satan's objective is to kill and destroy. He is the father of lies, and he's the father, he will twist the truth. Bible says that a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus said, when he was in a discussion, he said, when Satan, when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan will take the truth. He'll take a little bit of the truth and he'll twist it and he'll to blind the minds, even of unbelievers, or even of believers. He brings mankind into question the Word of God and to doubt the goodness of God. We see that even in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3, that the serpent, he was more crafty than any of the wild animals and the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? He even began there in the fall of man when man gave in to the temptation to eat of the fruit that was forbidden. Did God really say? And I think in our world there's a compelling looking for the truth. People are looking for the truth, and we have the truth found in Jesus. Satan will come and he'll try to twist God's words to get people to doubt his goodness and his love for us. Even when he was talking with Jesus, even when he went into the desert, and Jesus specifically went into the desert to be tempted, to be tested. The devil took Jesus up to a holy city and standing in the highest point of the temple, he said, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. So he takes the truth, he applies it to the situation. Okay, Jesus, if you really are the Son of God, why don't you test it and throw yourself down? The angels will take care of you. Isn't that what the scripture says? It wasn't all the truth. It was just part of the truth. And Satan was trying to get Jesus to do something to test his father. And Jesus answered to him and he said, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So we have to take the scriptures, and if it's being taught about a specific thing, we got to take the other scriptures along with that and not just look at that one verse. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Jesus says this, or God says this about what Satan has done to unbelievers. He says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Without Christ, we cannot know the truth. The Bible says that the enemy, the devil, has blinded us to the truth. We cannot know it. We cannot see it. And Satan wants us to remain in that area of darkness where we don't know the truth, where we're easily deceived. Jesus, on the other hand, has brought us truth that we might have a relationship with him, that it might produce life within us. Jesus said, I've come to bring life and give you life abundantly. Jesus was speaking to the Jews, and he said to the Jews who had believed in him, he said, if you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth comes from that relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it needs to begin. I've had a lot of different conversations with different people as I've worked in the community. And some of the questions, I tried to read the Bible. It doesn't really make any sense to me. And the very first thing that they need to understand is that they need to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then once they receive Christ in their lives, then they will receive the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, will come within them and dwell within them and will lead them into the truth and give them understanding. without that guide there, without the Holy Spirit, it is foolishness to them. First, we need to understand and know and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then he will give us the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, that will lead us into that truth. In John chapter 8, Jesus is talking with the Jews, and they were thinking they had a relationship with God, and they were appealing to their heritage, that they were Abraham's descendants, and they had a relationship with the Father. And Jesus said to them this, "You belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." So the first thing that we need to do is come into relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, accepting what he has done. He's died on the cross for our sins. We can enter into relationship as we confess those sins to him and invite him to come into our lives and that we might follow him. Then he promises us to give us the Holy Spirit that will lead us into all truth. Here, the Jews felt they had a relationship with God based on their heritage, based on their tradition. Because of they were born a Jew, they felt they had a relationship with God. God is our Father. We're descendants of Abraham. But in reality, in their hearts, they were wanting to kill Jesus, which was contrary to the truth. Jesus taught a lot of times in parables. He told stories. And the disciples came to Jesus one day and asked them, "Why do you speak in parables? Why is it that you speak in parables?" And he answered them this, "Because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. He will have an abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear.'" Jesus spoke in parables because there are some people who just can't perceive the truth, or they don't want to know the truth. And so Jesus spoke it out in parables for those that were wanting to hear, those that, okay, yeah, what does that mean? You know people like that, that hear something, they want to discover the truth. That was like the Bereans. They, when they were taught the word of God, they didn't just, okay, that was good. That was a good message. Paul, as you preached that. Peter, as you preached that. They listened to the truth. But they dove into the truth. It caused them to hunger and say, okay, what does that mean? Is that really what the Bible is saying? And that's the kind of Christian that God wants us to be. Ones that are seeking out the truth. When you hear the truth, when you hear preaching, when you have teaching, is that what the Bible is saying? And get into it yourself. Dig into God's word. Jesus spoke in parables in order to stimulate the people, those that were really wanting to hear and see the truth, that yeah, they were going to perceive it because they were ready to hear the truth. I was thinking about that a lot this week with sometimes people don't want to know the truth, right? Sometimes I don't want to know the truth about myself, right? We don't want to face the truth because maybe it's painful. But there's healing. There is freedom in facing the truth and allowing God's Spirit to work in us and through us, changing us, transforming us. Is it even possible to know the truth? Yes, it is possible to know what is true and what is wrong through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus proclaims to be the truth. Without God, without Jesus, we're blinded in our understanding about what is right and what is wrong. Do you want to understand the truth about God and life? First, place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. God promises that he will give us the Holy Spirit that will guide us into all truth. If we're lacking understanding in a certain area of our lives, ask God to reveal himself to you. God, you know, I don't understand this. What is it that you want me to learn from this? What does this mean? And God promises that he'll give you understanding. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, he says it to disciples, more than you can bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. How do we know what the truth is? By reading God's word and asking the Holy Spirit to give us understanding and how we might apply that in our lives. That's why God's word urges us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Apart from God's word, we're not going to know what the truth is. We need to look at life, every moment we have, through our biblical worldview, through our Bible glasses. What does the world say? What are we hearing being taught? How does it compare to God's word? If it doesn't compare to God's word, if it doesn't line up, just like Jesus was being told, hey, if I cast myself down from this temple, God's going to take care of you. If I do something foolish, if I do something that's kind of risk-taking, but I know that God's not in it, then that's foolish. You shouldn't test the Lord your God in that. Now, yeah, if the Holy Spirit is leading you to take a faith-filled risk to accomplish something for him, and he leads you in that, and he confirms that by his Spirit, by people around you, by his word, that it's lining up with the word of God, that you're to do something that's kind of outside of the box. Noah was put in a place like that, where he was told to build this big boat, and that there was a judgment coming. He had to believe God, he had to trust God, he had a relationship with God that he could test that in. The Bible promises that if we seek God, we'll find him. If we knock, the door will be open unto us. The Bible says that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God asks us to test the truth. It is possible to know the truth. We need to test the truth, right? God says, test the truth. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Taste and see that God is good, that he loves us. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, God gives us instruction. And a lot of people get upset about it. And I've had conversations with people, Christians, believers, that, you know, argue about it. But it's between them and God. But it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, God says. Says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room enough to store it. God says, okay, there's a principle of tithing and giving a tenth of what you receive from the Lord and blessing through resources that he blesses you with. God says, give a tithe out of the first fruits of what you receive. See if I will not throw out the open the floodgates of heaven and provide for you above and beyond all that you could ask or imagine. Test God in the truth. Bible says, do not quench the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Do not test or do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. You hear a truth, you hear a prophecy, you hear scripture, you hear a teaching, test it. According to God's word, what does God's word say? Is that really what God's word says? Reject everything that is evil, hold on to the good. And the question comes down to, what am I going to do with the truth? Okay, God reveals to you, the Holy Spirit maybe, and the Holy Spirit has come, and his responsibility is to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Maybe the Holy Spirit's dealing with us in a certain area of our lives, and he's sharing, revealing to us the truth about ourselves, truth about where he wants us to be, and where he wants to take us. The choice is ours. What are we going to do with his truth? Are we going to stand on it? The world is turning everything upside down. Are we going to take a stand and say, no, that's not what God's truth is? The rich young ruler was confronted with the truth about himself. He said, good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? He was seeking for answers. Goes to the rabbi, Jesus, and says, okay, what can I do to have eternal life? Oh, keep the commandments. Well, I've done them since I was a little boy. I kept the commandments. Went to church every Sunday. My parents took me from the time that I was a baby until now. And I've done everything that the Bible says. Okay, this one thing you need to do, you need to go and sell everything you have, give to the poor, and then come follow me. Jesus was getting to the heart of the matter. His worship was not Jesus, was not God, but his worship was what he had as his belongings. And the scripture says that he had a choice. Okay, do I accept this truth about myself that, yeah, I am holding a tight grip on belongings and things that I have, tighter than my relationship with God? And he had to weigh that. What do I want? Do I want God? Or do I want what I have? In reality of his own heart, Jesus perceived his own heart, knew his heart. He had to make a choice. We have to make a choice about the truth. Are we going to accept the truth even about our own selves and respond to the Holy Spirit and his leading? Maybe even confessing sin, turning around from what we have been doing and following God, or continuing down the path that we are on, which leads to destruction. The woman at the well was faced with a choice. We know that the rich young ruler, he went away sad. He made the choice. He was going to hold on to his riches. The woman at the well was confronted with the truth about her life. She came to the well. She was outside of society. She came at a time when the other women didn't because of her reputation. But Jesus was there waiting for her. Isn't that great about Jesus? About his mercy, about his grace, that he's waiting there for you and for me, the sinner. And he wants to have a conversation with us. He wants to reveal to us his truth that will bring us life eternally, long lasting. Here was this woman. She came to the well. She was getting something for her physical body and for her physical being that would bring her life. Not realizing, here is this man. Men don't talk to women. Why is this man even the Jew. Why would he even want to talk to me? And sometimes we have that thing about God. Why would God want to talk to me? God wants to talk to us. He wants to reveal to us his truth. And he began to talk to her about, okay, can you give me something to drink? Well, you know, the well is deep and nothing to draw from. And then he begins to reveal to her about himself that, you know, I could give you water that's everlasting. He's like, wow, I want that water. And she begins to open up to him, and he begins to share with her the truth about her life. Not just the physical, the spiritual. And he's like, well, go get your husband. Well, I'm not married. Actually, you've had 5 husbands, and the one that you have now is not even your husband. That's the way the Holy Spirit works in our lives. He begins to reveal things in our lives that he wants to change, to transform us into the person that God desires us to be like him. And it's for our good. Satan wants to bind us up with baggage and bondage. Jesus wants to set us free. And that's exactly what the woman found in her life, that it brought her freedom. Freedom that she didn't have. She went back to the town. It was like sharing about Jesus. Hey, I found he's the Messiah. And she had boldness. Here she was out at the well at a time when nobody else was, so she didn't have to socialize with people. But God opened her up to, hey, here's one that told me everything about me. And he wants to have a relationship with us. And they all came out and they saw what she had been saying, but then they experienced it for themselves because they responded to the message that she had to share. We have something to share within ourselves as well. That relationship that we have with God, the truth that he's sharing with us, we have something to share with other people, with one another, what God's doing in our lives, the truth that he's sharing with us, how he's transforming us. That will impact each other as the body of Christ. As we share those things with one another, we need to share those things with one another. Even with those that do not know Christ, so that they too can respond to the truth. The scriptures prophesy that in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. And they will group people around them so they don't have to face the truth. The Bible says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. So in the last days, people are not going to want to hear the truth. They'll put people around themselves that will tell them what they want to hear, right? Even if it's not the truth. God encourages us not to do that. Preach the word as it is. Not changed. Be prepared in season and out of season to correct, rebuke, and encourage. And do it with gentleness of heart. In a way that you can have a conversation with people. What are some practical applications that we can have? There are 2 ways to be fooled. This is what Kierkegaard says. I think it's true. There are 2 ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't true, believe the lie. And the other is to refuse to accept what is true. We can either believe a lie or we can refuse to believe the truth. First thing that we can do is examine ourselves and ask the Holy Spirit to test our hearts, show if there's any idea or any wickedness that presents itself against God. Pray the prayer that David prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God, you know, I might have a blind spot in my life that I'm just not seeing or perceiving in my own being of where my soul is at. God, would you search me? Would you show me if there's anything that's askew and not true to your word? We all have blind spots. Pray that the Holy Spirit to empower us to live out that truth that he reveals to us. That we'll have the power that he gives, the resurrection power, to live out that truth. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Invite people in our lives that we trust and that will be honest with us about the truth that they see in us and that is being lived out in us. And be open and willing to allow God to change us from the inside out. Invite other people that you trust, that are other believers, that are going to be honest with you and share with you the truth about yourself. My wife and I just went and watched a movie, Florence Foster Jenkins. And this lady was a singer. She was an entertainer. She was a soprano, amateur. And she would be mocked about her flamboyant performance, costumes, and notably about her poor singing. But she would group people around her that would give her praises and high praises. They would sell out these concerts with people that would just give her what she wants to hear, or even reviews in the newspaper or in the articles about what a great performance she had done. Building false security. Allow God's Spirit to reveal to us the truth about ourselves. And allow God to use other people, other believers that will share that truth with us. Share that truth with others. Pray that I may proclaim, Paul says to the Colossian church, this is his prayer. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, the scripture, the Bible, the gospel, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Knowing that God may reveal to us the truth, but there is a way that we need to share it with those that don't know the truth, with grace, seasoned with salt, not just in your face. This is the truth. Believe it, you know. But coming alongside them, just kind of what we were talking about this past week, building a relationship with people who don't know Christ. Build a relationship first that we might establish that trust, and then begin to have those honest conversations about what does the Bible say? And what does God's plan have that's better for you? Let's pray together. God, we just ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would accomplish what you've set out to do in each one of our lives today. That we would hear your truth, that we would respond to your truth, that we would live in your truth. We pray that you would protect us from the evil one who wants to kill and destroy, wants to confuse us, wants us to be conformed to the patterns of this world. But God, I pray that you renew us by your truth. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.